Now I shall ask you a very, very difficult question. What was I speaking about yesterday? It seems like 100 years ago. Wow, qualities of Krishna. Does anyone remember any of the qualities we discussed?
Compassion.
Yes, universes come from his pores, his body. And yet, do you remember how that explanation in Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion ended? Does anyone remember? How that person, whom universes come from his transcendental body, who is unlimitedly powerful. How did that explanation of Srila Prabhupada's end? Does anyone remember? Yes. Yes, thank you. That person, who is so beautiful, he never leaves Vrindavan. And why is it that he never leaves Vrindavan? Really, that is because of that other quality that we discussed. And that was that he is controlled by love. And the very nature of the residents of Vrindavan's love for him, which is completely pure, but not only pure, because purity means the absence of impurity. But not only is the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna supremely free from any adulteration. Prabhupada used to use that word quite frequently, adulteration or impurity. But in addition, they love Krishna in such a special way, with such depth of affection, and with such freedom from any awe and reverence. Their love was so dominant that Krishna is bound by that love. Now, also in the purport or the explanation of how Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees, the example was given of Mother Yasoda binding Krishna. Did I read that? I don't think I did because we didn't have much time. But Mother Yasoda, we know, everyone knows the pastime, or not perhaps everyone, but almost everyone knows the pastime of how Krishna, as we saw in that incredible drama this morning, so sweet and cute and attractive, that Krishna was always stealing. He was so naughty. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the pastime we're referring to, in one of his comments, not there, but there, when he says that Mother Yasoda, after Krishna was stealing the butter and feeding it to the monkeys, because he was angry at Mother Yasoda, because Mother Yasoda had put him down. She was feeding him her breast milk. And she had put Krishna down before he was satisfied. And the reason she had done this was to put because the milk was boiling over. And she was doing service for Krishna. But still, Krishna was dissatisfied. And he began to cry when Mother Yasoda put him down. And then he thought, she is neglecting me. And therefore I shall do something very naughty. And he broke the pot that held the yogurt or butter or yogurt used for churning the butter. And then he ate as much as he wanted, and he was crying and crying because the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been neglected and offended by his mother. And he was acting like a naughty child. And he ate as much as he wanted. And then with tears still in his eyes, he fed the butter to the monkeys. And then Mother Yasoda came back and saw that Krishna had done all these naughty things. So she chased him and chased him and chased him And finally, she caught Krishna, caught hold of Krishna. And she thought, what shall I do to teach him? Because the mother naturally wants the child to grow up. So this is the nature of Mother Yasoda's love, that there is no tinges of awe and reverence that will minimize the love. Because when there's awe and reverence, the love is bound. It's minimized. And the love of the residents of Vrindavan is unlimited. And therefore, again, it binds Krishna. So when Mother Yasoda was doing this, Krishna was thinking, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, she decided she had a stick in her hand. And Krishna was crying. He was crying. His mother had a stick in his hand, her hand. So this seems like an extraordinary scene. But how extraordinary this is, we are not aware of, or we forget, unless we remember the first quality of Krishna that we discussed, which was, someone said it, universes come from the pores of his skin. In other words, that transcendental body of his is incalculably powerful. No one can understand how powerful Krishna's body is. It is composed not like my body, which is composed of muscles and skin and some hairs and plenty of wrinkles. Nothing like that at all. No lymph glands, no lymph nodes, nothing like that. It is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. It is completely spiritual. Universes, he's so powerful. Universes come from the pores of his skin. And there he is, his mother is lifting a stick. I'm going to punish you because he's stolen butter. The whole universe belongs to him. Countless universes, countless spiritual material worlds belong to him. And he's stealing butter and he's feeding it to the monkeys. And he's crying actual tears because he's so immersed in the Vatsalya, Shuddha Vatsalya Prem. What does that mean? Yes, Mother Yasoda loves him so much that he's placed perfectly into that position of being the naughty boy. And he's thinking, oh, I'm a naughty boy, and experiencing the love of Mother Yasoda. And she's experiencing Krishna's sweetness. Krishna's crying so much, she thinks, she's holding up a stick. If you act naughty like this again. And Krishna's crying so much that Mother Yasoda says, this is not good. He has too much fear. So I have to think of another way to punish him. So she gathers some rope from the house and thinks, I'll tie him up. And in that way, he'll learn his lesson because he'll be restricted because Krishna was so restless. And Prabhupada once told the story that one of his sons was very restless also. And two parts I remember. One was he was so restless that he wanted to put his finger in a electric fan. So Prabhupada was with one of his friends, and the boy kept trying to put his finger in the electric fan, and talking about anxiety for a parent. That's one of the things that will cause a parent anxiety. So Prabhupada's friend said, "Why don't we let him do it and learn his lesson?" So they pulled out the plug, and when the fan was very slow, going very slow, they let the boy try to put his finger in, and he touched it, and he never did it again. And another, because this boy was very, very, very restless. And another thing that Prabhupada did, when the boy was so restless, they put him somewhere like on a shelf, So he couldn't move. He couldn't get down. So what a restriction that is. Prabhupada also told the story that during when Russia and Moscow and the USSR was very, very heavy and oppressive, Prabhupada said in Moscow he was staying in his hotel room. And he said, I may not want to go out of this room. I may not want to go out of this room. And I'm happy. But if someone says you can't go out of your room, then it becomes torture and jail. So he said in this way, because of all the restrictions, that the people weren't happy. So the method of restricting the child was the method of punishment that Yasoda attempted to place on the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental body exudes unlimited countless universes. So of course, from the point of view of Tattva, from the point of view of us knowing aham savasya prabhavo matak savam prapattade, sutre maniganaiva, that everything rests on Krishna, everything comes from him, aham eva sam eva gray, that before the creation there was only Krishna, from that point of view we can look and say how of course he's not going to get bound. But Krishna is not thinking like this at all, because of the power. Because Krishna, again, the quality is that Krishna is controlled by love. So because of the power of Mother Yasoda's love, he's not thinking like that at all, that universes come from the pores of my skin. This is the power of Mother Yasoda's love. Instead, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Mother Yasoda tried to bind the offending child. She gathered some rope, and she saw that the rope was too short. It wouldn't bind his middle, his waist, because it was short by 2 fingers. Thus she brought, naturally, another rope to do it. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, though Yasoda could bind her child by love, and though the size of her lap was small, still the small form of the boy was all-powerful. This is shown in 3 verses. And Krishna was thinking, and this is one of this great Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's great mercy upon all of us, is that he can reveal how Krishna was thinking. So he's going to say how Krishna was thinking. And he says, Krishna was thinking, I cannot be bound up because I must do my daily duties of stealing yogurt and playing with my friends. So Krishna, his mood, remember, this is the supreme, all-powerful Lord, like the king. The king has his own personality, has his own likes and dislikes, his own nature. But he doesn't exhibit those when he's in the office of king, because he exhibits his power at that time. But in his private apartment, he acts as he likes. He acts in the ways that give him his own pleasure. So this is Krishna in his most private apartments, acting just in the way that gives him pleasure, by dealing with his most intimate, loving, trusted devotees who only have an interest in pleasing him with the greatest love. So when Krishna was thinking like this, Mother Yasoda with her love was trying to bind him. The love was in the form of the rope, practically speaking. And when Krishna was thinking, how can I be bound like the boy put on the shelf? I don't want to be restricted, because I want to engage in my pastimes. Because this is Krishna's most intimate, in his own most intimate love, where he reveals the most love. So at that time, Krishna's vibhuti shakti, his opulent shakti, was inspired by his satya sankalpa shakti. Krishna has unlimited energies. And indeed, Kshatragyakya Tatapara, we, all of us as souls, are one of his energies. And indeed, the material energy, which my body is composed of, is also one of his energies, because nothing in existence exists externally to him, outside of him. And this is the meaning of the absolute truth, of him being this Param Satyam. And the first verse of the Bhagavatam says, the purpose of the Bhagavatam, practically speaking, is Param Satyam Param Dhimahi, to meditate on the absolute truth, the all-inclusive Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti paramatmekti bhagavaniti sabhyate. So depending upon the nature of our practices, our sadhana, the absolute truth will display who he is in different ways. So if we practice great austerities and are great renunciants and meditators and are meditating on the self as Brahman, that absolute truth will reveal itself as undifferentiated oneness. And if there is great, great love through bhakti, the absolute truth reveals himself as Lord Narayan. And when there is great love in a very, very, very specific way, in the mood of the resonance in Vrindavan with that speciality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute, then he reveals himself, the absolute truth displays the full extent of himself and shows how he is Krishna. So he has unlimited energies, and all the energies are meant for his pleasure. And when we try to take his energy, specifically the material energy, and try to use it for our pleasure, the result is a disaster. Not for him, but for us. When we think Purusha Prakriti Stohi, that we are Purusha, the enjoyer, and we are in Prakriti, Bhunkte Prakriti Janiha, trying to enjoy that material energy, Karanam Guna Sangasya, we become entangled with the modes of material nature, and the result is Sarasat Joni Janmasu, birth and death and birth and death and this suffering and then traded for that suffering and then we're sick of that suffering and we want to try a new type of suffering, all under the guise of enjoyment. But the result is only suffering. So this Krishna's Shakti of Satya, he has Vibhuti Shakti, reveals his opulences, his vibhutis, and then his satya-sankalpa shakti, which is that fulfills all of his desires, his shakti that fulfills his desires, that inspired the vibhuti shakti. So that vibhuti shakti suddenly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, suddenly entered Krishna's body. In other words, his opulence suddenly began to be displayed. There he is crying, and he's thinking, I want to play with my friends. I don't want to get tied up. And his vibhuti shakti becomes inspired by his desire shakti, and suddenly his opulence has become displayed, and the rope remained 2 fingers too short. No matter how many ropes Mother Yasoda tied together. Now let's read a few verses here of this pastime, because it's such a wonderful pastime. It's celebrated during the month of Damodar, or Kartik, because in this month the victory of prema, of the love of the devotee, is celebrated, that it is victorious even over Krishna's vibhuti shakti and satya-sankalpa shakti. So the new rope, Mother Yasoda brought more ropes, and it was also short by a measurement of 2 fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. Their shortness could not be overcome. Thus Mother Yasoda joined whatever ropes were available in her whole house. But still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Because after all, universes expand from his body. How could the rope which is within the universe bind the totality of universes? So Mother Yasoda, she kept on attempting to do that because of her influence. The influence that she was under was fully the influence of motherly love. So there, it's quite astounding if you think about it, rope after rope, and it was still this much too short, but yet she didn't just become astounded by it and think it's obvious, this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing like that at all, because her Shuddha Vatsalya Prem was so overwhelmingly powerful within her that she could not think in that way, because she was thinking, my boy, my beloved son. That's all she could think. How intimate was her relationship with Krishna. So Mother Yasoda's friends were watching her go through this, getting this rope and that rope and tying it and still two fingers too short. And the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, they were smiling and enjoying that fun. Similarly, Mother Yasoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. All of them were struck with wonder. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expanding on this scene. This is what he says. All the elderly gopis in the neighborhood were laughing. In her astonishment, Yasoda thought, a rope of 150 feet does not fit around my son's waist, which measures one fist, practically speaking. His small waist is not getting any bigger, and the rope certainly is not getting any shorter. But still the rope does not go around him. This is the first amazing thing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Furthermore, Mother Yasoda, not only does Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveal the mind of Krishna, he also reveals the mind of Krishna's devotees, like Mother Yasoda. Because if we can understand their minds, we can understand so many things, especially the purity and the sweetness of their love. And how do they reconcile things like this? The rope is not getting shorter, and his stomach, the boy's waist, is not getting bigger. How can she reconcile this? It is wonderful for her. It is the true meaning of awesome. But she doesn't become filled with awe because of her Vatsalya Prem, her loving mood. She can't see it like that. So that's the first thing. And then furthermore, when I tie the ropes together, each time it's the same measurement, too short, two fingers. It's not three fingers, and it's not four fingers, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's two fingers, too short. That is the second amazing thing. Text 18. Because of Mother Yasoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb in her hair were falling from her hair. And when child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, in other words, she didn't immediately, like when Arjuna saw the universal form of Krishna, we hear that in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he was terrified and he begged forgiveness. And he said, I want to see you again. Stop, I don't want to see your power anymore. But Mother Yasoda, practically speaking, her love being so powerful, she didn't even notice it. She just simply worked harder to get more ropes so she could teach her son a lesson. when Krishna saw that she had gathered all the ropes and she was perspiring and might get upset and fatigued, he became merciful and agreed to be bound. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, as you cannot bind Krishna even with all the ropes in the house, then it must be concluded that it is his, Krishna's good fortune, that it should not be. Listen, Yasoda, give up these attempts. The village women were advising Yasoda in that way. You cannot, you've gathered all the ropes, so it must be God's grace, his good fortune, that it is not meant to be. But Mother Yasoda was determined. Even if evening comes, and even if I tie together all the ropes in the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of my boy's waist. Because she's astounded. Yasoda wanted to teach a lesson to her son. In her persistence, she would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord. In the competition, so Krishna's Vibhuti Shakti was working, the Shakti of his opulence, his power was working. In addition, the Shakti of his Satyasankalpa was working, that's his Icha Shakti, that everything that he wants, he gets, just like we all wish was happening with us. But we can't, because we're not him, we're not God, we're just tiny and insignificant. But he is Icha Shakti. His desire Shakti was working and inspiring the Vibhuti Shakti again. And there was Mother Yasoda fighting those two Shaktis of Krishna to bind Krishna. She was determined. We know who's going to win. In the competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee's determination always prevails, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, always when the acharyas speak, even when they're explaining these leelas, there's always hints. Because they're explaining the exalted devotees' minds, they're explaining Krishna's powers, there's always hints for our own prosecution of devotional service. How can we attain our success in devotional service? How can we actually become devotees? The devotee's determination always prevails. In the competition between Krishna's devotees, the devotee's determination always prevails. Thus, seeing his mother's fatigue, the Lord gave up his own persistence. He became merciful and allowed himself to be tied. Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king of all his potencies and illuminates all others, melts the heart of the Lord and turns it into butter. The appearance of Lord Krishna's mercy made his Satyasankalpa and Vibhuti Shaktis immediately disappear. So another one of Krishna's mercies, Shaktis, interfered. It's Kripa Shakti, his mercy. And this Shakti is the one that we really long for to appear, because it will melt Krishna's heart. So this is the meditation of a devotee. And we already had one clear hint of how, there's nothing we can do to force it to happen. Bhakti is a haitukiya pratiyata, it is causeless. Causeless from the point of view of the devotee is not trying to get anything. There's no cause for his activity, but also causeless from the point of view that we can't force mercy to descend upon us. It is Krishna, we say Krishna's causeless mercy. There is nothing we can do to force it to occur because it springs from Him by His mercy. There's nothing we can directly do to make it come. But there are certainly things we can do that can coax it, perhaps, Krishna's mercy potency to come. So we got one hint, clearly, be very determined. And we have the example in the Ashraya of Sudha Vatsalya Prem in Madhya Yasoda. But this is the meditation of the devotee. How can I evoke Krishna's mercy? I can't force it, but what can I do? And this point comes up quite soon. Although it can't be forced, yet there are things that we could and should do. So Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king of all his potencies and illuminates all others, melts the heart of the Lord and turns it into butter. The appearance of Krishna's mercy made his satyasankalpa and vibhuti shaktis immediately disappear. The distance of two fingers was filled by the devotee's effort and hard work. Parishram. Effort and hard work. That's one finger. And that was the distance. And those two fingers, not three or four, which was also amazing. And the second was the Lord's causeless mercy. So hard work to serve and please the Lord. The bhakta nishta, the firm faith of the devotee seen in this tireless endeavor to serve and worship the Lord, and the sva nishta, the steady quality in the Lord which brings forth His mercy upon seeing the devotee's effort and fatigue, causes Krishna to be bound. In other words, the devotee is sincerely, and I think the operative key word is sincerely, working for Krishna's pleasure. There is full sincerity in that, meaning his effort is not adulterated or made contaminated by any selfishness, actually simply working to please Krishna. And I found that the more years I chant Hare Krishna, the more I come to the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is really only ultimately a matter of sincerity. Yeah, that's the essential ingredient, that I actually want to please Krishna. And there is, of course, the art of knowing how to please Krishna, but if there is no sincerity there, or simple and pure desire to please Krishna, then knowing the art is ineffective, because the heart will not be there. In the absence of these two, meaning the devotee's endeavor and Krishna's causeless mercy, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the rope will remain two fingers too short. But when bhakti nishta, or the determined focus of the devotee, and swanishta, Krishna's natural merciful nature and causeless mercy are present, the Lord can be bound. In this pastime, Krishna showed Yasoda and the whole world that only love can bind the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Vrindavanam Pratyaja Padam Ekam Nagachami Nagachati. Okay. What's your analysis of that one, Adi Purusha Prabhu? Huh? Okay. Text 19. O Maharaj Prikit, Sukadeva Goswami says, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. And this is Krishna's pleasure. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse, and this is the last verse we'll read here. Although Krishna possesses all possible powers, he is bound and controlled by prema, love. The bondage, however, being the most astonishing attribute of the Lord, is not a fault but a beautiful transcendental ornament in Krishna's personality. By his very nature, Krishna is self-satisfied, Atmaram, yet he suffers from hunger. He is up to come. He automatically fulfills all his desires, yet he is dissatisfied in desires of prema. Though Krishna is the personification of peace and pure goodness, he becomes angry. And what does he do when he's angry? He breaks butter pots. He does terrible things. If part of the verses in the wonderful sweet Vrindavan opening up drama that we saw earlier, one of the verses not included when the elderly gopis were complaining about Krishna and watching him just sit there smiling. I'm the most innocent of all. I wouldn't do something like that. Just smiling at Mother Yasoda. They said, when he goes to take the butter, even though we hide the butter, we hang it up high in a room. We keep it in a dark room, hanging high, and he somehow or another gets it. Well, just keep it and make sure there's no light in there, Mother Yasoda answered. But the jewels from his body illuminate. We'll take away the jewels. But his body gives off such an effulgence that it illuminates the darkness anyway. And anyway, if there's no butter in the house, Krishna goes there and pinches all the children and makes them cry, all the babies, and makes them cry. And then he passes urine on the floor of the cleanest places, and he's so naughty, your boy. And Krishna's just sitting there, and Mother Yasoda is just experiencing this incredible ecstasy. And my boy is so naughty. And he's just smiling. I wouldn't do something like that, Mother. So, although he is the personification of peace and goodness, he becomes angry and performs such mischief. And all the gopis, they used to watch this and they would enjoy it. He was everyone in the village of Vrindavan. They thought, they spoke about, they heard about nothing but what Krishna was doing. Krishna did this today. He broke the pot. He fed the monkeys. Mother Yasoda was tying him up. All day long and all night long, practically speaking, everyone was simply enwrapped in thoughts of Krishna, and Krishna is present in those thoughts. So forever they were relishing the sweet mellows of Krishna consciousness. So here are the contradictions, not the contradictions, the paradoxes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he's composed of peace and pure goodness, he becomes angry. And Krishna is the master of unlimited goddesses of fortune, yet he steals butter like a beggar. Though Krishna instills fear in everyone through time and death, he flees in fear of Mother Yasoda's stick. Although Krishna travels at the speed of the mind, he is easily caught by the firm grip of Mother Yasoda. Though Krishna is condensed bliss, Sandrandananda, Visheshatma, his very nature is
condensed bliss. He cries in sorrow. Though Krishna is unlimited and all-pervading, he is limited by being tied up. And he concludes this, or part of the purport here, he says, quoting from the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, from the 11th chapter, to pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brishbasis by his childhood activities, and this is Krishna's purpose. All the non-devotees in the universe, they're all trying to be supreme, and no one wants to be a servant. And Krishna gets his pleasure, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, by serving. Serving and increasing the pleasure of his own devotees. It's irony. So that is one quality of Krishna, that he is controlled by the love of his devotees. And Krishna, of course, has unlimited qualities. Another one we spoke of yesterday was Krishna's compassion. And what did Srila Prabhupada say in relationship to Krishna's compassion ultimately? Krishna takes shelter of Krishna's compassionate counterpart, and that is Srimati Radharani. And also we know that Srila Prabhupada was representing Srimati Radharani. And those who represent Prabhupada are representing, in that way, Srimati Radharani. Now, so he's all-powerful, he's controlled by love, and he's compassionate and merciful, and he is also the supreme controller. And Srila Rupa Goswami gives several examples of how Krishna is the supreme controller. This is the 50th of the quality of Krishna. He says that there are two, to be a controller means two different things. One, who is independent, who does just as he likes, is called a controller. And the second form of being a controller is one whose orders cannot be neglected. So he gives an example for he who is independent. Does anyone know which example he gives? He gives the example of Kaliya and Krishna's dealings with the Kaliya serpent. Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course this is Srila Rupa Goswami's example, Srimad Bhagavatam says that although Kaliya was a great offender, he was such an offender that he tried to kill Krishna, and he succeeded in killing through his poison the cows and the boys, such beloveds of Krishna. So he was such an offender. Haribol. Radhesham. A friend. So although Kaliya was such an offender, Krishna still favored him, Prabhupada explains, by marking his head with his lotus feet. Tavangri Renus Parishara Kara Yadvanchiat Sri Lalanacharatapo Vahayakamam Suchiram Dhritavrata. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, performed austerities with great determination for so long, but yet, Hare Krishna Pushpaji Mataji. But yet she could not attain service or the dust of Krishna's feet in Vrindavan. But Kaliya, on the other hand, was an offender. He was a killer of those dear to Krishna. And the result was that
Krishna placed his lotus feet upon his head. And Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that sometimes when Krishna is called to Mathura, he will ride upon Kaliya. So he uses Kaliya as his vehicle to get to Mathura sometimes. So Krishna graces Kaliya, who is an offender, and on the other hand, he did not give such mercy to the goddess of fortune. He did not give such mercy to unlimited different souls. And what is this attributed to? This is simply Krishna's independence. This is the example. This contradictory treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position. Brahma prayed to Krishna with so many sweet and wonderful verses, and after Brahma offered his prayers, what was Krishna's response? Nothing. He didn't even acknowledge his existence, practically speaking. And Kaliya again, he tried to kill Krishna, and he gave him his causeless mercy. And this is his independence. So is this a favorable quality for us as aspirants in Krishna consciousness, or is it an unfavorable quality? What? Favorable? Why? Yes, because he is independent. He can give anyone his mercy regardless of the qualification of that person. What do you mean, if we're qualified? And right, but I don't have that problem. And we see all the acharyas, all the great acharyas, they take that position. Because they just simply see their disqualification, and they see they have this great unfulfilled desire to serve Krishna in a specific way. So the contradictory treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position, because in the Vedic literature he is described as completely independent. So how, again, this is a meditation for the devotee, how can I attract Krishna's independently given causeless mercy? And Kaliya, what happened to him was actually his wives were great devotees. So by proper association, the seed of devotion had been planted in his heart. And then when he saw Krishna, and when he understood who Krishna was, that seed of devotion that had been planted in his heart actually fructified, and he surrendered. And that's sometimes how Krishna deals with us too. He may stomp upon our head and kick us and kick us and kick us and kick us and kick us. And then when we finally decide to give ourselves to him and accept him as our only shelter, then everyone and he will say, how wonderful, what a great decision you have made. As if we had any choice, he takes away all the alternatives. We have nowhere else to go except to him. And that's actually Krishna's special mercy upon the devotee. Harishya Tadaram Swanai. Later on in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami or Maharaj Prickett, he had a thought, and this was right very very close to his departure from this world. And it happens right at the end of the 10th canto. He asked Sukadeva Goswami a question about Krishna and his dealings with his devotees. How sometimes it is seen that the devotees of Lord Shiva become very opulent. And on the other hand, the devotees of Krishna, they get their head stumped upon sometimes, and they can lose everything. And he was thinking indeed of his own forefathers, the Pandavas. They were the greatest devotees of Krishna. And Bhishma Dev, on his deathbed, when thinking about what had happened to the Pandavas, how they had suffered, tears were coming to his eyes, thinking about how much they had suffered, most astonishingly, with Krishna as their best friend. So Maharaj Prickett, very close to his death, he was thinking, possibly a doubt entered his mind about his own situation. So he asked, we see that Krishna takes care of his devotees in one way, and he takes away everything from them.
If I could find that, that section is so incredible. Let's see if I can quickly find it.
Verses 88, 8.
Yes, that in the last final chapter? Yes, okay, 88. Yes, because then, we'll find it in that way. I think that's 89. Why don't you find it for me? And that way I won't just be pouring through the book. So
Sukadev Goswami answers, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on these verses is very, very, very sweet, that our conception of what is good and what is bad, what is favorable, what is unfavorable, what makes us happy, what makes us sad, it is extremely limited. Especially it is limited in time, how we consider, how we judge this is good and this is fortunate and this is unfortunate and this is good and bad. What do we think of as a long time? We think of sometimes when we're very hungry or perhaps tired, 5 minutes seems like a long time. Or 10 years, so long. 20 years, so long. 50 years. So long. But Krishna sees everything from the point of view of eternity. We think of ourselves, we tend to think of ourselves as the body. And therefore our conception of time and what is good or bad is false, it's illusion. But from Krishna's point of view, what he does is from the point of view of our eternal life. So he judges good in one way, and from the point of view of 5 years or 2 years or 5 minutes, it may seem like the worst thing that could possibly happen to us. But from the point of view of our eternal life with Krishna, it may be the best thing. So therefore a devotee, whatever happens to him, even though externally it may appear to be the worst thing that has happened, he trusts that Krishna's mercy is somehow embedded in that. And therefore, it is only a devotee, and I'll say this by first saying that it is much easier to preach about this than to live it, preach to others about it. But a devotee is the one, the only one, who can live without anxiety in this world, because he has that type of trust in Krishna. But and therefore, tateyanu kampam susamit shamano bhunjane vapma kripa vapakam vidvagvibapodam vidadhanam namaste jivatiyam mukti pade sadayabhak. A devotee who sees Krishna in everything that happens, he inherits Goloka Vrindavan just as naturally as the son inherits the property of his father. It is natural. Because practically speaking, he's already in the kingdom of God because he's seeing Krishna in everything. So to the question that Maharaj Prickett asked, because look at Maharaj Parikit's position. He was the king. And he was cursed and he lost everything. He was going to die within 7 days. And somehow he saw... If you actually think about what it was like, you'd have to say he was so exalted that he saw Krishna's mercy. So deeply embedded in this that he was not in anxiety. He just wanted to know what the best thing was to do. He questioned so many sages. They were in disagreement. Some said gyan, some said karma. Some said this, some said that. And then when Sukadeva Goswami walked in, or even though he was a young boy and clothed in the words of the Chaitanya Bhagavat by the four directions, every one of the sages stood up out of respect and they offered him the seat of honor. And the question was asked, what should I do? And the answer was, you should just hear and chant and focus your mind with one pointed attention upon Krishna. And no one, despite their opinions, could or would say anything. So Prickett Maharaj, at this point, he was wondering, then if Krishna was always taking care of everyone, perhaps this thought came in his mind, what happened to my relatives? They suffered unlimitedly. So he asked this question. In that way, we see that the devotees of Lord Shiva, they prosper, and the devotees of Vishnu sometimes are cast out completely. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the verses... Your grandfather, this is how he answered, King Yudhisthira, after completing his Ashwamedha sacrifice, asked Lord Achyuta this very same question while hearing the Lord's explanation of religious principles. This question pleased Sri Krishna, the king's lord and master, who had descended into the family of Yadu for the purpose of bestowing the highest good for all men. The Lord replies as follows to the king's eager inquiry. Harishya tadanam sanai, yasyaham anugramin, harishya tadanam sanai. If I especially favor someone, Krishna said, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? When he becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I bestow my special mercy on him. A person who has thus become sober fully realizes the Absolute is the highest truth like that. Because I am very difficult to worship, people generally avoid me, Krishna says. And worship other deities who are quickly satisfied. When people receive kingly opulence from these deities, they become arrogant, intoxicated with pride and neglectful of their duties. They dare to defend even the demigods who have bestowed benedictions upon them. So now he tells the story of Vrikasura, who after Lord Shiva benedicted him, he tried to touch with the ability to crack a head. Anyone's head he touched, he tried to touch Lord Shiva's head. But we won't hear that story, but let's just hear Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. I will give the verses, when he becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I bestow my special mercy upon him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sri Krishna said, I will give my mercy to him. This is the second mercy. I will cause an extraordinary shower of sweet bhakti rasa to rain down on my devotees. It was for this purpose that my first mercy bore the fruit of tormenting pain. For the purpose of bestowing a shower of the most sweet mercy upon him. In this verse, the statement, Krishe Maranugraham, I give my mercy, can be better stated, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I give mercy in the form of my very self. This is the mercy that he gives to his devotees, his self. He gives himself to his devotees. There was something remarkably sweet, but I can't find it so quickly. So I'll have to leave it to a different time. But let me give one quick other try. Sri Krishna himself explains how his special mercy is equal to himself. He says, "My mercy is equal to Brahman because it is supremely great and because it is imperceptible for persons with material vision. It is super excellent and subtle in the sense of it's inconceivable even to the devotee who is being shown mercy. It is purely spiritual because of its ability to give experience of prema ras, the mellow of pure love, and because it is devoid of any material happiness." Okay. Don't let me forget to look to do my research properly on that one. So, Krishna, the Supreme Controller, as soon as he desires, can bestow his causeless mercy upon any soul to whom he wishes to do so. This is his supreme independence. Another wonderful quality of Krishna's is that he is truthful. This is, I think, the ninth quality in here. We saw in that drama how truthful Krishna always was. But there we saw that Krishna being one of his other qualities being a pleasing talker. A person who can speak sweetly even with his enemy just to pacify him is called a pleasing talker. But Krishna's truthfulness, a person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her five sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And after the battle was finished, when all the Pandavas had come home, even though millions and millions and millions had died, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, "Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail." Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna, present along with the two of the Pandavas. This story is that both Krishna and the Pandavas, in this case, Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable to the Brahmins. Thus, Krishna, who had planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmins. Jarasandha, being very charitable to the Brahmins, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna, dressed as a Brahmin, declared himself to be the same Krishna who was Jarasandha's eternal enemy. That story is also very wonderful because one day while Krishna was in Dwarka and it was in his royal court, a person who no one knew came in, and he was a messenger from 22,000 kings that had been imprisoned by Jarasandha. And the prayers that they presented through this messenger were very, very heart-rending, because they said, "We are surrendered to you, Krishna, and yet we are in such a distressful condition, placed, imprisoned by this Jarasandha, who is your enemy. How is it possible that your enemy is being victorious and we who are surrendered to you are suffering so much? So please, please, you come and save us from him." And Krishna found himself in a predicament at that time, because he had been invited to the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And at the same time, he was duty-bound, because Krishna protects those who surrender to him. He was duty-bound to protect the kings. So which one should he do first? Should he go to the Rajasuya sacrifice? Or should, as Yudhisthira Maharaj had requested, or should he go and protect the kings? So it was a puzzle for Krishna, the omniscient, all-knowing, supreme personality of Godhead. So he asked Uddhava, what should he do? And Uddhava gave the solution and said that to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, first Jarasandha has to be subdued anyway. So first go to Jarasandha. So to protect those kings who had all been imprisoned by Jarasandha, Krishna went there, and through Bhima, he killed Jarasandha, because it is Krishna's promise that anyone who surrenders unto him, his devotee, shall never be vanquished. He shall always be protected. And very quickly, even if that devotee performs some improper activity, sudaracharo, sadar eva, he is to be considered a sadhu. Now this, and chipram bhavati dharmatma shashva chantim nagatsyati kaunteya pratijani hi name bhakti prashyati. He asks Arjuna to declare it boldly that his devotee will never perish. So this point, in conjunction, of course, there are so many wonderful qualities of Krishna. So we've read about how powerful Krishna is. We've read about how Krishna is controlled by love, how Krishna is so compassionate that he's the supreme controller. And he's truthful now. That means he keeps his word always. So let us pay some attention to these specific words of Krishna, of Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, because we wish to give ourselves fully to Krishna, but it is so difficult in the material world for a conditioned soul to do that, because there is such a tendency, a deep tendency, to doubt. We doubt that Krishna will actually protect us and care for us. So therefore, I hesitate to give myself to him and place me under his full protection. Gotripte varanantata. To place ourselves like a cow is placed under the protection of the cowherdsman. And if the cowherdsman feeds him, he eats. If he doesn't feed him, he doesn't eat. What a terrifying position to be in. In this world, we are all old enough to have experience what can happen to one if one doesn't care for oneself in this world. Because this is a dangerous place. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. It is a dangerous place. So for a conditioned soul, it is the most frightening thing, practically speaking, to place himself under the care of another. So it is essential, my dear devotees, that we hear about Krishna's qualities and how, in fact, he does protect his devotees. And hear Krishna's words and hear that one of his qualities is his truthfulness. I would like to read something from both Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on that verse, Chiplam Bhavati Dharmatma Shashva Chantim Nagastati Kaunteya Pratijanini Naib Name Bhakta Pranashyati. He asked Arjuna to declare it boldly that his devotee will never be vanquished. I recently had a thought that I sometimes use as a meditation almost, that how would your life change if you actually trusted and have faith that Krishna was caring for you and he loved you. That he actually was caring for you as his dear one and he actually had affection and love for you. How my life would change and all anxiety except to serve Krishna would just vanish like birds vanish when they're in the tree and you clap your hands loudly. How much your life would change if you really, really, in the depth of your heart, trusted this, that Krishna loves and protects his devotees, and or the devotees of his devotees. So much inspiration would be there, and so little anxiety would be there in life, and so much attention would be able to do service with devotion. So Baladev Vidyabhusan comments to this verse. The two verses are, if the most sinful person worships me with no other desire than to please me, I still consider that person to be my devotee since he has fixed himself completely in me. That's not the translation we usually use. We use something more dramatic. Sado eva, Krishna says, api chet, even if a person commits sudaracharo, the most abominable activities, but he's ananya bhakti devotee. Nothing else is in his mind. He's fixed. His shelter is established. And this, my dear devotees, is what we want to do, is fix our shelter in Krishna. Because after all, at the time of death, what other shelter is going to be a shelter for us? Neither our money, our friends, nor our family, our intelligence, our good looks, our strength, our cunning, our this, our that. Where will our shelter be? So ananyabak, bhajate mam ananyabak. So even if a person, sudaracharo, this is Krishna's words, sada eva, even if he commits abominable activities, if he's a Nanyabhak devotee, fixed in me in bhakti, his shelter fixed in me, sadur eva, he is certainly a sadhu. Samantavya samyak vyavyasitohisa. Now, and then the next verse, very quickly, chipram bhavati dharmatma. He becomes dharmatma, a righteous person, very quickly, and he becomes completely devoid of contamination. O son of Kunti, Kaunteya Pratijani, he name bhakti punashati. You should declare to all that my devotee never, never perishes. So Baladev, he first quotes something from the Katha Upanishad, which is an opposing view to this, the Purvapaksha. Listen to this quote, contradicts Krishna. He who has not given up evil deeds, who is not peaceful or in control of his senses or mind, cannot attain the Lord even through knowledge. So then, after that quotation, Baladev says, how then can you consider them proper as sadhus, if the scriptures condemn such sinful persons? And then Krishna says, that statement you have quoted concerns persons whose very nature is sinful. But the person who exclusively worships me is purified of his incidental sinful acts by me, the Lord of all beings, who am most purifying, because I hold that devotee in my mind. Krishna thinks of that devotee. He then very quickly becomes steady in proper conduct, chipram bhavati dharmatma. Continually repenting his previous acts, he attains complete cessation of all those sinful acts which are obstacles to remembering me. So the process of lamenting anything improper that we have done is the process mixed with being Ananyabhak, focused on Krishna, that I will, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if hopefully we'll have time, we'll read that also. He puts it very, very, very bluntly. The devotee thinks I am a black spot on the society of devotees because of what I have done, and I will suffer for thousands of births in hell for what I have done. But still, Ananyabhak, I will not give up the service of Krishna. I will not give up the service of Krishna. And therefore, because of that mentality, Krishna says, Sador Eva. He is certainly a sadhu. And it almost goes without saying that the devotee's mood is this lamentation, not that everyone says, you've done something wrong, and you say, Sador Eva, Sador Eva. Not like that. It's the lamentation and the fixedness mixed together that makes the purification. He continues, he does not become separated from me and attain misfortune, rather purified by me, who are most purifying. He shines with the qualification to attain me. And then he quotes the Bhagavatam. One who has given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. And full shelter means full shelter, both hands in the air. Is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reactions to such sins. What was said is related to smarter atonements, the Katha Upanishad quote, which is meant for those following smarter rules, persons other than my exclusive devotees. But remembrance of me is the most powerful atonement. Remembrance of me, Krishna said. So smartavya satatam vishnu vishmatadu najatu chit. We should always chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on these verses is even more dramatic, and we can even say more extreme. My attachment to my devotee, he's saying about Krishna, this is Krishna's mood, is my very nature. Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Pajanta Vidanyata, even more than Krishna's sweetness and his power, Aishwarya Madhurya Karunya Sarupa Purnata. This is Krishna's essential nature, his swarup, that he's Bhakta Vatsalya. He loves his devotees. The devotees of his devotees. Once I heard, I haven't been able to locate it again, but I heard Prabhupada say in a tape lecture or something like that, that when you serve the spiritual master, the service is passed up through disciplic succession to Krishna, but you also serve Krishna directly. And he said, that is the mystery of the disciplic succession. My attachment to my devotee is my very nature. That attachment does not decrease, even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. If someone with bad conduct, addicted to violence, thievery, or adultery, worships me, and worships no one except me, I have to dutifully say that this is not the recommendation of Krishna to do those things. He's saying, even if it could possibly happen, and Baladev said negligently, something has happened, just it has happened, and he worships no one else except me, in other words, his ashray is fixed in Krishna, and he does not follow any other process like karma or jnana, and has no other desire than my desire to please me, he's Ananyabhak, he is my devotee, sadhu. And then the opposing comment, but considering his bad conduct, how is he a devotee?
Krishna. He is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. It is a command. Not doing so is offense. My order is the authority. So, my dear devotees, we should consider this when we criticize other devotees. We are breaking Krishna's order and it is an offense. So then the opposing side. So he should be considered a devotee in that portion where he worships you and as a non-devotee in the portion where he commits adultery? No. He should be considered as a devotee in all his parts. You should not see his bad qualities at all. He is completely convinced. He makes a splendid resolution. I will go to hell for my sinful reactions, which are hard to give up. But I will not give up my dedicated worship of Krishna. This is Krishna's merciful love and dedication to his devotees. But as Prabhupada said, we should not take advantage, because then Krishna... How can you accept the worship of such a sinful person? How can you eat the food and drink offered by a heart contaminated with lust and anger? Chipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he becomes righteous. The present tense is used and not the future to express the fact that having committed sin, by remembering me, he becomes repentant and very quickly becomes righteous. Oh, how unfortunate I am. There is no one as low as I. I have brought bad name to the devotees. Repeatedly, he feels complete disgust for himself. Or the use of the present tense can indicate that in the future he will develop righteousness fully. But even right now, it exists, his righteousness, in a subtle form. After taking medicine, though the destructive effect of fever or poison remains for some time, this is not considered seriously. Thus, with the entrance of bhakti in his mind, the sinful actions are not taken seriously. And the traces of such sins, such as lust and anger, should be considered insignificant, like the biting of a toothless snake. Thus, he attains complete cessation of lust and anger, permanently. In Nagastuti, ni stands for nitaram, completely. This means that even during the stage of having tendency to commit sin, it is to be considered that he has a pure heart. If he eventually becomes righteous, there should be no argument. This is the opposing side. However, if a devotee is sinful right up to his death, what is his position? The Lord, affectionate to his devotee, then speaks loudly with a little anger. O son of Kunti, my devotee is not destroyed. At the time of death, he does not fall. The opposer. But arguers with harsh tongues will not respect this. Krishna then encourages the worried, lamenting Arjuna in this way. O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, go to the squabbling assembly of the dissenters with a tumultuous sound of drums, and you should throw your hands in the air, and you should fearlessly declare, what? Arjuna, or the opposing side, says, declare that my devotee, the devotee of the Supreme Lord, though committing sins, does not perish, but rather reaches success. Arguments defeated, pride deflated, they should undoubtedly respect you. They will undoubtedly respect you as a guru for speaking like this. This is Sridhar Swami's explanation. Quite amazing. And we've spoken about this under the quality of truthfulness of Krishna, the full truthfulness of Krishna. I'm going to turn, because we need the encouragement to take shelter of Krishna and forget the what if, but what if this happens and what if that happens. We need Krishna's shelter. There's nothing else that can protect us. And who will protect us if we take shelter of Krishna? Krishna will. Let me just read the grateful quality of Krishna. It's one of the ones that I take shelter of, or I hope to take shelter of, grateful. This is Krishna's quality of gratefulness.
Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent or generous activities and never forgets that friend's service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda! This call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart.'" This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," with both hands in the air in full shelter. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and His energy. And who is that energy? Srimati Radharani. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. The devotee always chants and serves the holy name. Chants in the mood of serving the holy name and serves the holy name and the Lord by preaching, spreading the glories of the holy name. It is impossible for the Lord to forget. There are so many examples, even in ISKCON, of devotees who have left the field, who were in their young days, young exuberant days. You know, when everyone is very brave and bold, and the world. You imagine when we were young, we imagine in 10, 15 years, in 1968, we were thinking in 10 years, 15 years, the whole world will be Krishna conscious. Really, we were thinking like that. The whole world was going to be chanting Hare Krishna like that. So when you're young and exuberant, you join, no care for the future. And then, as Brajabihari says, when you find out it is a swan-eat-swan world in the society... the society is rough inside, it's rough outside, this problem, that problem, you start getting old, your knees hurts, your neck hurts, your back hurts, and this problem and that problem, and you have this and that, low blood pressure, high blood pressure at the same time. So many problems. You have no money, you have so many problems. And then you leave. And we've seen this happened to so many devotees. I'm thinking of this three examples in my mind at this moment. And when one devotee who preached, who was Prabhupada's servant, and then he went on Prabhupada's order to preach in Japan quite bravely. He had trouble, he left, fell down, horrible activities. Left the society of devotees, but yet in the last part of his life he was surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and his mother was there saying, "Go to Prabhupada, go to Prabhupada, leave now, go to Prabhupada, it's okay, leave, go to Prabhupada now." Well, the example that Jagatwini Mataji gave when she was talking about her Gopinath, another devotee also Prabhupada's servant, and he went away for so long, and at the end of his life he came back, and the devotees invited him back to Australia because he was one of the devotees who started the Australian Yatra. And on the plane coming to Australia, he was feeling so bad, he was so ill, he almost died in the bathroom on the plane coming over. And then he ended up leaving his body in surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna. And I've heard this also, there was one devotee, he left, he was even a sannyasi, he left, And then right before he left, and he didn't have anything to do with devotees for so many years, and then as he left, the people around him heard him said, "Prabhupada, you've come." So Krishna does not forget. Krishna does not forget. So this is the quality of gratefulness. And if someone has this quality of gratefulness, that person is a wonderful person and can be happy. And if a person lacks gratefulness, no matter what else he has, no one will like him, that person, if he's not grateful for what has been given to him and what he has. So it is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated that in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. Always remains obliged to him. Since Krishna, any honest person, Prabhupada says, is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? So, in this regard, there's one favorite sloka from that Mahaprabhu quotes from the teaching to Sanatana Goswami, when he quotes from the Ramayana, when Lord Ram was about to, before he was going to attack Lanka and destroy the city in Ravana, then Bibhishan came over and wanted to surrender to Ram. And everyone thought, maybe he's a spy, he's the brother of Ravana, he can't be trusted, we can't take him into our camp as one of us. And Lord Ramachandra replies, Sakrideva Prapano Yas, everyone, Sakrideva Prapano Yas, Sakrideva Prapano Yas. Tavasmiti chayachate, tavasmiti chayachate, abayam savadatasmai, abayam savadatasmai, dadam yetad vritam mama, dadam yetad vritam mama. It is my vow that if someone, only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, "My dear Lord, from this day I am yours," and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. I'll read it again. It is my vow that if only once one seriously surrenders unto me, saying, "My dear Lord, from this day I am yours," and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. We'll end here on time. Excuse me? Madhya 22:34. But it continues. Listen to this too. Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord, or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali oshanta. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Sri Krishna. Whether one desires everything or nothing, whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is basically Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's commentary on that verse. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is like a person who gives up ambrosia, nectar, to drink poison. But since I'm very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Could you say that really loudly?
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Look how beautiful Giriraj looks. He's always just there. When you come just walking out of the ashram and coming to a class,